Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now you've missed the last bus home, you need a taxi. If you're on the streets of San Francisco, you'd already be thinking of hailing a Waymo or a Tesla. Yes, the era of robo-taxis is already here. Will they be seen on our streets soon? And what is the business model behind them? Is it sustainable? I'm delighted to welcome Ray Fuden. He's a reporter with the Financial Times who knows a lot about this subject. Good morning to you, Rafe.
Hey, Bobby.
Now, I've heard of Tesla. Tell me about Waymo.
Sure. So Waymo is basically Alphabet, better known as Google's self-driving car project. And it's been around for, well, nearly 20 years now, but it's only started to really take off recently when they launched self-driving car services in San Francisco a few years ago. Now it's quite easy to hail a Waymo, a self-driving vehicle that pulls up. You hop in and you easily get taken to a meeting without any worries about your sort of safety in comparison to, say, an Uber or any other sort of ride-hailing app that you might be familiar with. And it's just a super popular form of transit now in San Francisco.
Okay, and I'm reading that they're doing 250,000 paid rides per week across five US cities. So they've started to scale slightly. If we look at the business model around it, I think they're using Jaguar I-Pace SUVs. They cost about 150 grand each. So I'm curious around the business model, because I'm told that they charge about $11 a kilometre. So in Irish terms, if I was to get a taxi, a Waymo, from the centre of Dublin to, say, Dunleary, which is 10 miles away, it'd be over 100 euros.
Yeah, that is true. I think one of the things that's quite clear is that this technology is still quite expensive. To kit out a Jaguar I-Pace with all the sophisticated sensors and technology, you're looking at about $150,000. Now, that's a heck of a lot more than a Toyota Prius that you might be more familiar with when you get picked up in an Uber. On average, it's about $3 more per kilometre in San Francisco. But the economics work a bit differently in places like San Francisco than they do in most European cities, where you might be travelling a bit further in a less densely populated environment. San Francisco is really dense. Those journeys that you might take in a Waymo are probably not going to be much more than a kilometre, because it's a very small city.
Okay.
But when the technology sort of reaches Europe, it's likely that it will be much more affordable, in large part because the sensor costs are coming down. They're starting to produce these vehicles at scale, which means that the unit economics are improving drastically. We've already seen sensor costs come down, you know, in the sort of scale of tens of thousands of dollars in the past few years. And it's only likely to improve much more in the next few years as well.
Yeah, and in their favour, self-drive taxis, the drivers, and there aren't drivers, but the taxis don't get distracted, they don't text, and they don't drink and drive. They're three real positives to consider choosing one, yes?
Well, this is it. So the central pitch from the companies that want you and I to ride around in a self-driving car is that, no, it can't be distracted. It should be safer than a human driver. And ultimately, what that means is cars on the road in general, there'll be less fatalities on the road, less sort of minor incidents as well. But we're not quite there where the technology is sort of operating without that being a problem. We've not had many fatalities attached to the technology, but we are still seeing accidents on the road. Some of that's inevitable because life is tricky. But at the same time, you know, a central part of how this is being positioned is it needs to be much, much safer than a human driver. And we're not quite there yet.
What about Apple and GM and Ford all killing off their automated driving projects over the last couple of years? Are there any worries that there'll be, is this going to be a kind of a last man standing scenario?
So this has been the fear for a little while. When Apple killed its self-driving car project, it was a bit of a sort of a bit of a sign of just how capital intensive developing this technology has been. GM shuttered its project, which was Cruise, following a very difficult incident involving a pedestrian in San Francisco. The technology itself was being deployed on roads, perhaps a bit prematurely, and the impact on their balance sheet was huge. It was a $10 billion write-off.
Wow.
And so it means that, you know, ultimately this technology has been left in the hands of a few large technology companies, but there are green shoots. So in the UK, there's a startup called Wayve, which is developing its own self-driving car technology, and we expect that to hit the roads next year with some passenger rides, because there's going to be a pilot in the UK from the spring of next year. And there are a few other startups like Nuro in the US, which has just received a massive order from Uber for about 20,000 Lucid cars that are fitted with Nuro's technology. Now, these are smaller startups that have raised a lot less money than the likes of Waymo and Amazon's equivalent, which is Zooks.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about Zooks. They create their own bespoke vehicles that don't have a steering wheel, and that it's like a kind of a glass box. It certainly visually is very science fiction looking, but this is a reality, is it?
Yeah, so I've ridden around in a Zooks. I like to describe them more like a glass toaster. They're a very funky, quirky looking vehicle, but they are very much what you'd think a self-driving car would look like. You don't have a steering wheel. You hop into this little vehicle that can drive around, and you're sat face to face with your friends in it. And that is sort of directionally where things might be heading. At the moment, we are still seeing, you know, the Waymos that are on the road, they still have a steering wheel. They're basically cars you and I could purchase that are then kitted out with technology. But in the future, we're going to start seeing quirkier vehicle shapes, I think.
Yeah, and in terms of Wayve, you mentioned them there. It's doing trials in London next year. Their CEO, Alex Kendall, he's a co-founder and CEO. He said that no one in the world has demonstrated a scalable robotaxi solution yet, but it's coming. So I think maybe to endorse your point that there's been a lot of capital pain in getting this far. And as you say, they've been around quite a number of years, but we seem to be coming to a point where there will be a commercially viable alternative on our streets pretty soon.
Yeah, I think so. I think what's clearly demonstrated by Waymo in San Francisco is that if you can operate in a fairly tightly contained space with a high frequency of rides, with lots of turnover in passengers, your unit economics are probably quite appealing compared to your more conventional players like Uber and Lyft. And that's going to improve because the technology gets cheaper. So we are going to start seeing it deployed elsewhere. The only challenge, I think, is regulation. Ultimately, can these companies demonstrate to regulators that the technology is safe enough to be deployed in Europe, where I think the bar and standard has been set higher than in some places in the US?
Yeah, and I presume we'll have an EU, and I know you guys in the UK aren't included, that's why you can do your own thing, but we're going to have an EU directive around legislation here. So I see there's trials due to start in Switzerland, which is also not in the EU, as to my knowledge. So they're starting trials before the end of 2025, which is this year. So maybe the EU is actually slowing things up, and it's the non-EU countries that are getting the head start.
I mean, perhaps. I think one of the things that's quite tricky in Europe versus the US is that the cities are a lot older. They have more difficult road conditions and weather conditions as well. Rain is much more common in the UK, Ireland, and elsewhere in Northern Europe than it is in some of the parts of the US, where these cars are being driven around. But you have to remember that Volkswagen, other large automotive manufacturers really want to get into this. And Volkswagen are going to deploy in the US next year with Uber, with their little Buzz ID vehicles. And, well, I mean, it's going to be very hard for European regulators to turn around to the large car manufacturers that make up a massive sort of constituency within, say, Germany and other parts of Europe, and tell them that they can't deploy these vehicles on roads in Europe, because it seemingly is the direction of the car industry at the moment.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there. That's a great discussion, Rafe. Thanks for joining us this morning. That's Rafe Uden. He's a reporter with the Financial
Bobby
Times.
Kerr.
Thanks for joining us.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11. On News Talk.